You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second half of the program. And so many conversations have emanated in relation to Sam Pittman over these last couple of weeks. So we thought we would go back to the man who brought Sam Pittman to Arkansas and the SEC right now. He is Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, thanks for coming back. We hope you're well. And from the looks of things, it's been a pretty good fall so far in Fayetteville. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me on. And except for the 40 degrees and raining here in Fayetteville right now, it has been a great fall for Razorback fans for sure.
Yeah, well, that comes unfortunately a little too early, but Coach Pittman has really been the talk of the SEC, and I know this is old material, and we've even discussed it, but I get so many questions about his hiring, and I just watched it from a distance. I'm really curious, as you were going through the changes out there, and you made the change, and then you began to look for the next coach. How did you come up with Sam Pittman?
Well, obviously, Sam Pittman had been here, Paul, for 3 years as an offensive line coach, and when the opening occurred, had several of his former players and constituents around the state that reached out and put Sam on my radar screen. And I had a longer runway to conduct this search, and as I kind of evaluated our other coaches, head coaches here at the University of Arkansas that had been successful, one of the qualities that stretched across all of them is they wanted to be at the University of Arkansas. They were excited to be at the University of Arkansas, and they were Razorbacks through and through. And that's one thing you can surely say about Sam Pittman is he wanted to be the head coach at the University of Arkansas.
And you understand this. You've made some very good hires over the years, but you know there's a so-called looking at the hot list, getting the coach that won the big game the year before, that won 10 or 11, or getting someone who really does fit the program. And I know you were not involved in the prior search, but what was there about Sam, other than the obvious, his likability and his background there that convinced you that he was going to be the right choice? Because you had a few choices, to say the least.
Sure. When you look at the things that the Arkansas Razorback football program needed the most, we needed to get better up front on both the offensive and defensive line. Sam Pittman checks that box. We need to be a little bit better in the recruiting process and the evaluation of talent. Sam Pittman checks that box. And we needed somebody that the players were really going to love and enjoy playing for and enjoy playing football again. And Sam Pittman checked that box. And finally, as I mentioned before, Sam Pittman wanted to be the head football coach at the University of Arkansas. And I think that may have been the biggest determining factor. He was not scared by the challenge of taking over a program that had consecutive 2-10 seasons, that had lost 20 consecutive SEC football games. He embraced that challenge and wanted to be the leader as we went through that challenge in rebuilding our football program.
Talking to Hunter Yurecek, Hunter, as you have watched this season unfold, a lot of us were surprised, obviously, to see what he was able to accomplish. And I know that he has told us that he expected to win. All competitive coaches do that. You understand intercollegiate athletics. What has been your reaction?
Well, obviously, the way we have played, I don't know that it's been surprising. When I watched his practice this August and saw the belief that the young men that are part of our program had, and the belief in themselves, the belief in our coaching staff, that they were being put in the position to win football games and to be successful on the football field. And I don't know if that was necessarily the case over the past 2 years as I watched their football program. So, you know, Sam Pittman tells me every week he expects to win. He expected to win the Georgia game. He expected to win the Auburn game. He expects to win this weekend. We were kind of joking about our schedule next year, and he said, well, we're going to win that Texas game as well. And I said, well, let's just worry about Texas A&M this week before we worry about Texas next season. Sam Pittman truly expects to win every football game, and he's preparing our team to win every football game.
I realize Sam Pittman makes the hiring decisions. You hire the coaches, they hire their assistants, but I would like to get your thoughts on Barry Odom, who many have credited, many have credited Sam Pittman with one of the great hires of the offseason. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought it was really great during the process to hire Sam, that his self-reflection, and one of the things he told me, he said, Hunter, you know this, I know this, I've never been a head coach. He said, I have to hire a coordinator that has had head coaching experience that can help me navigate being a first-time head coach. And Barry Odom was at the top of his list on the defensive side. Him and Barry were close. They're even closer. You can see them walking around our campus each and every day of the week, obviously 6 feet apart right now. But, I mean, Barry has been an invaluable resource for Sam first and foremost as a first-time head coach. And obviously Barry's been unbelievable for our program on the defensive side of the ball, and the plans he's put in place for each and every game for our student-athletes to be successful on the field.
Talking to Hunter Yerichek, Hunter, we've had a lot of conversations going back to early spring about trying to get this season underway, and you have been very steadfast in your desire to make sure we have a season and can do it safely. We are inching toward the midpoint of, well, we are at the midpoint of the SEC season right now. I'd like to get your reflection on how it's gone and the challenges you've encountered and what's ahead.
Paul, I think you look across the board, especially within the Southeastern Conference, as we were able to get off to a great start with 3 weeks in a row where all 14 teams played. We had a little bit of a hiccup during this past week, had to reschedule some games, postpone a game here and there, but I think it's been a success so far. We don't play another game this year. This season has been a success because our student-athletes have been able to take the field and do what they love. But the fact is we're going to play more football games this year. You saw, you know, obviously the Big Ten kicked off this weekend, the Pac-12 here in a couple of weeks, and all of those conferences that had backed out of playing have joined the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 in the American and Conference USA, and those of us that continue to forge ahead and push forward. And so this football season, I think there's been three times as many games played has been canceled. And we all knew moving forward that there were going to be some hiccups and some bumps in the road, but it has been a success.
In terms of looking at the success or failure of the season, you just said something so interesting. And I hear fans bellyaching. You hear more than I do, but we are pretty fortunate to have gotten where we are when you realize the headwinds. How do you, or do you alter the definition of success of your individual program in this sport or any sport for that matter, when you consider the challenges that it has taken to get to where we are?
Well, first and foremost, I think that the number one definition of success is the health and safety and well-being of our student-athletes, our coaches, and all of our staff involved directly on a day-to-day basis with each of our sports programs. And to date, that's been at the forefront, and everybody has been safe and had great health and well-being. And yes, there have been positive COVID cases, but for the most part, at least I can speak for our program, those positive tests that we've had within our program, the symptoms for the majority of those student athletes have been mild. None have been in the hospitals, and no sign of heart disease in those post COVID testing of their cardiac area. And so, you know, the first and foremost, the number one indicator of success is the health and safety and well-being of each and every one of our student athletes, not only here at the University of Arkansas, but across this country, playing football, soccer, volleyball, running cross country, and then soon when men's and women's basketball and our winter sports join us.
And I want to ask you about that because very few places in this land where basketball is more beloved than Northwest Arkansas. There's been a lot of conversation about how basketball is going to look. In the past, it's been a little bit early to get a good gauge of that? What's it look like where you are right now?
It'll look very similar, Paul, to football as far as the fans go. I mean, we have a 20,000-seat arena. We're making accommodations right now for social distancing within Bud Walton Arena. We think we can get somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 to 4,500 fans. Our benches will be set up similar to what you saw in the NBA bubble with the benches, chairs all 6 feet apart. So it's going to look different, just like football has looked different. But we're going to play basketball in the Southeastern Conference in many places across our country. And we're going to be successful with basketball just like we have been in football, because we're going to continue to forge ahead. Now, it's the first indoor sport other than volleyball that will really be played, so that will present some challenges, and it'll be played during the winter months. And so we've got to kind of maintain our focus, and I talk to our coaches and our student athletes on a regular basis that we can't take our eye off the end goal, which is playing games.
Hunter Yurecek, who's done such an extraordinary job as the director of athletics at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, thank you so much for making time. We always appreciate it. You be well.
Paul, thank you. Great to be on again.
Thank you very much. What a fantastic conversation. And that hiring of Sam Pittman, which was raised more eyebrows than any hire in the offseason. Sam Pittman is getting early consideration for SEC Coach of the Year, and we're not even at the midpoint. We're coming right back. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And really appreciate Hunter Yurecek joining us. Let's check in with Terry, who is in Missouri. Hello, Terry. Good afternoon. Terry, you there? I don't hear Terry, so let's move on. How about Piro up next? Piro, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted you to ask, would the SEC keep this 10-game schedule moving into the future? I think it would be awesome. And I got a proposed trade for you. There's Clemson and one other team from the ACC for Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the second part is not going to happen, and neither is the first part, because there's a lot of money at stake here with all the television contracts. So when you miss out, you have a 10-game season. That's being done in 12 weeks this year. Normally, the 12-game season is done over 14. So you're losing at least two weekends of college football. You're losing a lot of big rivalry games, such as Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech. And, I mean, there may be some kind of consideration down the road about a 10-game SEC schedule, but there's still value for a lot of teams and schools with those other games. Augie, who completely wrote the LSU Tigers off. Augie, welcome back. And apparently, welcome the LSU Tigers back.
God, Paul. Coach O, he's the best coach there has ever been in the entire universe.
I knew you would come around.
Paul, I got to say this. We love teams from South Carolina and Louisiana. I mean, really, the last two teams we beat was Clemson and South Carolina. You think we get Clemson on the schedule again this year?
You really don't want them.
Well, I got to tell Cat Daddy, we're not going to make him eat humble pie. He was really cocky, though, wasn't he?
I heard that from almost – I mean, that's South Carolina. They get a whiff of a win and just Kentucky, too. All of a sudden, bring it on.
Well, I tell Cat Daddy, he does not have to eat humble pie. He's got to eat a Nutria pie. And I think the big losers from this weekend, Paul, you got to admit, Kentucky has got to be one near the very top.
Terrible. I mean, their fans, there was a bespectacled commentator who did an interview a couple weeks ago and said, maybe time to get ready for basketball season. And after they beat somebody, I guess they beat Tennessee, all I did was hear from all the fans, and that was fine. Mark Stoops, said afterwards that the guy only invites us on when he wins, and we did have him on last week. And as soon as they get back, and their fans think they're going to contend with Georgia and Florida, and they blow it. I mean, you can't get around it. I mean, that was a terrible performance against Missouri.
Absolutely awful. And I think the other big loser, of course, Tennessee, but did you expect them to lose to the way they lost?
No, I really thought that would be a game where at least the line would be in jeopardy.
I thought so too.
And I thought the performance was dreadful. And Tennessee's lost to two of the top four teams in the country, and it almost seems like all the momentum is gone.
Yeah, it really does. But I think two other teams that played each other, one won and one lost, but I think they both lost, was Ole Miss and Auburn. It was like they both lost the game.
Yeah, Auburn right now. Auburn is, what are they, 3-2?
Yeah, they should be 1-3.
Yeah, and that's what they'll – I think Auburn's season is on the line Saturday. I really do. Because
– I agree.
When you're an Auburn fan, you don't get excited about being Ole Miss or even South Carolina. I know they lost that game. Your season is defined by LSU, Alabama, and Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely true. And, Paul, I don't know if you remember this, but Bo Nix, I don't think he's a good quarterback. People were raving about him. I don't think he's that good. But he reminds me of a guy that I'm sure you'll remember at Ole Miss, a guy named John Forcade.
He was
slinging and winging.
Wasn't he from New Orleans?
Right? Yeah, he went to Shaw High School out in New Orleans.
I remember John.
And, he made the Saints team when they had that strike season, remember? And they pulled in players they pulled him off the parade route. He was at an Endymion parade, and they dressed him out in the Saints uniform. But at LSU, we won. But now, Paul, people are saying it, but are talking about it. Ed Orgeron says we do not have a quarterback controversy. But I believe Edo is facing the beginnings of a Kirby Smart quarterback situation. He's got three guys, Brennan. He's got Finley, who I thought Finley played an A-plus game.
He did.
I mean, I was astounded by the way that guy reacted, the way he felt like he was a junior or senior out there. But I was also impressed with the very little glimpse I had of Max Johnson. I think we got three guys that somebody's going to be entering the transfer portal, and Ed Orgeron may be kicking himself in the head if the wrong guy goes. But I think we've got a controversy. What do you think? I'll let you
know. I do too, Paul. and I know what he. I think he has to be cognizant of the bills that Miles Brennan has paid, but only for so long. I think. I mean, he said it. Maybe we do have a competition. I think he's trying to be nice. Let's continue with more calls. And Brian is up next in Augusta. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Brian, we're doing great. Thank you.
I need you to help me figure something out, Paul. You would know better than me. I'm a huge Kirby Smart fan. But if Ohio State wins the national title with Justin Fields, it's going to be a bad look for Kirby. Now, I don't think they will because I don't think they have the defense. He's figured everything else out, Paul, except how to be safe and how to get a quarterback. Can you help me understand that?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And, you know, some of it's fair, some of it's not. Ultimately, the bottom line is how people are judged. And in the moment, it looked like he made the right call. It just so happened that Fromm never quite lived up to the absolute expectations. And, you know, this year, we're halfway through the season. It looks like he's still searching for a quarterback. And Fields is great.
Fromm, we lost that national title game, and that wasn't Jake Fromm's.
No, I agree with you on that. But I mean, I'm talking about when the Fields decision had to be made.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't look good now.
No, because I mean, the one thing about Fromm, you're right. He did enough, but Fromm digressed his last 2 years.
Yeah, I kind of blame the coaching on that. I don't even know. Listen, you forgot more football now than I'll ever know. But if we weren't going to use Fields, I don't even know why we recruited him unless we used that recruitment to get other players. It's just frustrating, and it's hard to be mad at someone who can't beat Nick Saban. There's a lot of teams.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, Kirby Smart has done a fantastic job. Yeah, he's living in the age of Saban right now, and he may not be living in the age of Saban forever, but I wouldn't be too upset with Kirby. Wayne is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Wayne, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Paul, I'm not going to cry around about anything today other than we look like crap. So Kentucky's football team did. So I the main reason I called today is I'm tired of all these people that are complaining about Bo Nix. You know, I'm not a football coach and I'm not an expert, but when I look at Bo Nix, he looks to me like that if somebody put him in a pro-style offense, that he could be an excellent football player. What's hurting him is they're trying to make a running quarterback out of him, and he don't run well, and he throws off balance when he's running. He don't set it all. So what do you think, Paul? Do you think
I think that was somewhat of the idea behind getting Chad Morris down there. I think the issues have been several-fold. The offensive line has been poor. I think it got worse with the injury to the right guard. And, you know, he's got good skill position players at running back and wide receiver. I don't understand the philosophy. He has gotten away with it so far, but as I was saying to Augie, this LSU game is really going to help define the season. We are heading to a break, and we appreciate you being here. Some really good guests so far. John Talty joining us, Blake Topmeyer from Tennessee, and we had Hunter Yurecek on a minute ago. We'll go down to LSU and talk about that quarterback dilemma in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On a Monday afternoon, it's been busy with Hunter Yurecek joining us a little while ago. How about Eric in Tennessee? You are on the air. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you very much.
It's hard times in Tennessee right now. What was up with the play call on Saturday? It was like they were up by 30 points, and I just don't understand it.
Well, yeah, I have not understood it for some time. I'm not sure anyone else does either. It just seems like that may be the weak link up there.
I know I'm not blaming JG anymore. I'm past that. I think it's the coaches. I just don't understand it. Pruitt said don't, you know, play in fear, and then you come out and have that kind of game plan. Did they even have a game plan for the quarterbacks? I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating.
It does not seem like, I mean, I know he's got a change. He's got a reputation, but just from a distance, without knowing one thing about that coaching staff other than Jeremy Pruitt's a head coach, it just seems like there's never a sense of urgency. Even in the game the other day, the game was seemingly lost. It was like, okay, we got another series. Who cares? I mean, try something at least. You've got a free series to at least try to get some confidence built. Hey, thank you very much for the call. A lot of calls from about Tennessee this week, this day. Ernest is up next. Ernest, go right ahead.
Yes, I was going to continue about the situation in Tennessee with Phil Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt. Had a friend in high school that was an excellent athlete, signed with Tennessee the same year that Phil Fulmer did. The young man that's my friend, was very intelligent, and when he went to Tennessee, he said as far as intelligence, that Phil Fulmer was very low on the totem pole, and that so it's amazing that Phil Fulmer gets fired at Tennessee when he's a coach. They hire him back, but then he hires someone who has also just picked up his information and his learned knowledge from Coach Saban, and he's just not. Some people are good assistant coaches, and some are good head coaches, but Jeremy Pruitt is not head coaching material, period.
Well, thank you very much. By the way, Philip Fulmer was a really good head football coach. Jeremy Pruitt, we don't know. I mean, he's yet to be shown whether he's good or not. Certainly not impressive so far. Madonna is in Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
Hey there.
Hey, first time caller. Very nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Watch your show religiously. I'm coming from Jackson, Mississippi. And I was wondering, do they have a Johnny Vaught clone?
Unfortunately, there was only one Johnny Vaught, who's the greatest coach in Ole Miss history. And you know, is revered to this day, many years after he last coached.
I don't know this coach, but hey, what gives?
Well, let me offer this to you, Madonna. I do know this coach that you have, and I think Lane Kiffin's a good coach. They are just undermanned this year, especially on the defensive side. I'm a little surprised by Matt Corral, but I would give him a little bit of time before giving up.
Okay.
I think he's a step ahead, step above what Ole Miss has had.
3 years to get his recruits in.
Well, it takes a while, and you know he inherited a very average program. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. How about Eugene in Georgia? Eugene, go ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm enjoying your show so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm always enjoying listening to you, Paul, because this is the best time of the year with SEC football going on again. It's great. We've had to wait a long time this year. Paul, I almost always agree with you because you have such a good grasp on the sport and on the SEC, but I got to disagree with you on something you just said about Jake Fromm. I gotta tell you the truth. I don't believe that he regressed over his last 2 years at Georgia. I believe Jake did an admirable job, especially in his last year, because his receiving core was depleted. So many of his top receivers had gone to the pros, and he had no one really to throw to except the transfer receiver who came in from Miami, as a graduate transfer and did a good job until he got hurt. So here's Jake Fromm trying to do what he had done before and trying to live up to the expectations that people had of him when he had made his mark with a great crew of receivers. And I think to hold it together the way he did and to engineer so many victories as he was able to do just showed remarkable talent. And people did not give him credit for that. And I think that's a slight that he does not deserve, Paul.
Eugene, I will tell you that I think now that I've heard you say that, and I certainly respect your opinion, I would reassess what I said for this reason. He did not have much around him last year, and you know, he took an absolute beating at times. And I also would challenge the philosophy. It just never seemed that it worked exactly with his skill set. I was trying to put it in context of Justin Fields, because you know Kirby Smart had to make that decision, and at the time he made it, Jake looked like he was certainly going to live up to his role. The one thing that I don't think anybody could really quite figure out is the players were starting to depart that helped make him so good. Appreciate your call, though. Good point. I will certainly take that. We are up against a break. LSU, the quarterback situation is on the agenda in the next hour. We have already had Hunter Yurecek. We've talked about the Alabama loss of Waddle. They're officiating. And we are coming right back.
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and Wes is up next. Wes, welcome to the program. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask the people that are calling up and complaining about Lane Kiffin. Now, you got to understand, I'm an Alabama fan, and I'm not saying this because he coached at Alabama, but the only time I was worried about Tennessee beating Alabama was when Lane Kiffin was there. The man is an excellent football coach. He relates to the kids. He thinks outside the box. He knows what he's doing. And if they'll just leave him alone, he'll give them a good program there if he can stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I really don't know what fans expected. I mean, his team, you know, had a big win on the road, had a shot at Auburn, you know, maybe more than a shot. And, you know, played Alabama as well as anybody has played Alabama in the SEC in some time. So I think it's just ridiculous for fans to be down because they're losing. I mean, they were supposed to lose this year.
Right. Just give the man 2 years, maybe three at the most, and see what happens. And then if he doesn't, then, you know, do whatever they want to do. But it kills me how people just automatically jump on a coach when he's only coming in with 1 year and he's not coming in with his kids.
No, you're exactly right. Hey, thank you very much, Wes. A great call. Don is up next in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My biggest thing I'm trying to wonder about is everybody keeps going after the quarterback situation at Georgia when really and truly it's more of a coaching situation, considering Kirby Smart has had the program like he's had in the last few years, and the only people we keep faltering to is Nick Saban, because Nick's so much in Kirby's mind that he can't get over himself.
Well, I mean, listen, let's for the sake of this conversation take Alabama out of the equation, and you know, Georgia has beaten Florida, which you're supposed to do. They've had a really good record against Auburn. They've owned Tennessee and pretty much everyone else. So, I mean, Georgia's not losing games that they're really not supposed to win. I mean, beating Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney's done it a couple of times. Malzahn's done it a couple of times. Who else has done it lately?
I'll give you that, but Kirby had him in the first half his last game.
Well,
was all in Saban's mind for a little bit. Went to the second half, came back, and it's like you'd forgotten.
He may have had it, but yeah, I think if you go to war with Nick Saban, you better have a better quarterback. You need to have a better quarterback. Hey, thank you for the call. Jerry is in Kentucky. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I'd like to make a couple of points about Kentucky's game on Saturday. The first one is, honestly, my prayers out to John Schlarman. And the fact that right before the trip, he didn't make it. It's the first game he's missed since his cancer diagnosis. Coach Schlarman is an important part of that coaching staff, particularly on offense, with the offensive line and the emotional part of that team. And the fact that that team appeared to be not ready emotionally with what's going on with John Schlarman and his cancer taking a turn for the worse, I don't think you can underestimate that. But the second thing
good
is
point,
the wide
the
receivers.
Way.
They haven't played well all year. They've got a bunch of good true freshman, redshirt freshman receivers. And the depth chart, one of the first ones, Mike Drennan, who's an elite receiver they recruited out of Ohio's true freshman. They're finally putting him in at number one at the wide receiver spot. And so hopefully with them moving these guys in, and we are going to have a competition between Joey Gatewood and Wilson this week. And if the Gatewood era starts, hopefully the passing game at Kentucky will improve.
Jerry, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that has been a really amazing thing to watch with Coach, fighting that, showing up for work every day. And I've had family members, as most of us have, deal with cancer. It's been very close to me. Fortunately, I've never had to, but I cannot imagine doing that. And that could have had a big impact. And I did not think about that. It's a fair statement, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Let's get appreciate the call. John is up next. John, you are on the air. Hello.
Paul, enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
I think you would agree with this. There's probably no sport where the head coach is more important than college football. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I mean, basketball, it's also very important because of the emotions of the game, and you're right there. Yeah. But I think
especially college.
Yeah. At the NBA, I couldn't tell you what the head coach does, other than make a lot of money. But I would agree that the head football coach, it's such a big staff. You need someone in charge.
Well, that being said, you know, Bear Bryant was famous for saying the same thing. Wins that always won. You know, what do you think that is? I mean, why are some coaches like a Nick Saban? You know, when Nick Saban was at Toledo, he was a winner. It didn't matter where he was at. It just seems like he was always winning. And the same thing with Bear. You can go back and talk about the one and only SEC championship that some of these schools had, or conference championship. You know, what is it, an obsession? What is it that makes you and I know if an Urban Meyer went and took over Texas, they'd be winning in 24 months. I mean, they just –
John, I've always thought, and I've had great coaches. I used to sit around and talk to Pat Dye about Bear Bryant. And I've talked to Saban assistants about him. And the great coaches coach assistants. And they also coach the rest of the team, but – they motivate those assistants, and that's been one of the successes of Nick Saban. I've talked to coaches who on some days have hated the guy's guts, they will still work for him, and they'll do everything to please him. Bryant was the same way. I think Saban's a little more involved with the actual coaching than Bryant. I only saw Bryant at the end of his career, so I couldn't tell you what happened early on. But they're also detail-oriented. And I've always believed it's the little things that win championships. It's Nick. I told this story years ago, but I flew with Nick Saban once. I think it was in July. We spent all day together. We flew from Tuscaloosa up to Connecticut, and he was looking at the Auburn spring game on the way up. And what was he looking for? He was looking for an edge or a crease that he could spring on them. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I'm not trying to act like that's the greatest thing I've ever seen, but that mattered.
Yeah.
And they did win that year. That's what the great coaches do. They never stop, ever.
Yeah. Well, and you see some of these guys, you know, when they hit that level, they get rich. You know, look at a Dabo Swinney. Who, you know, his income, what it is today versus what it was 10 years ago, he still seems to have an even stronger drive.
You're right, John. You're right. By the way, we have to go to the, you can never let the money affect you. Look around. Who is the money affecting? Who is the fame affecting? It's easy to look around the SEC or anywhere and figure that out. We're coming right back.